Now I move along to the 35th Psalm. And here is a psalm. David wrote this psalm. And he wrote it during the days of his persecution by King Saul. It goes along with the other one. In fact, you can put 1 Samuel 24 down by this. And it's a powerful appeal to a righteous God to execute judgment upon the enemies of God and the persecutors of his righteous people. Now, there are those that like to say, well, this is not the kind of prayer Christians should pray. And the Lord Jesus never talked like this. He gave a parable about a widow that went to a judge and said, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And that judge, it took him a long time to come around to it, but he did. And the Lord Jesus is saying, do you think God is an unkind, hard-hearted judge? No, God is gracious and wonderful. And then Paul did say to us, he says, we're to avenge not yourself, brethren. You turn that over to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, you and I are not to take vengeance today. We're to turn it over to God. This is his department. And my friend, he's going to handle it, and he'll handle it better than you and I will handle it. Very frankly, I've turned several people over to the Lord, as far as I'm concerned. I'd like to smack them in the mouth if you really want to know the truth. No use me beating around the bush. I have that same feeling of wanting to hit a man in the mouth. I know one, he's a liar. I know he's a liar. And he pretends to be, you know, why my, how he pretends to be a outstanding Christian, carries a big Bible under his arm. But God told me, he says, oh, Vernon, don't you hit him in the mouth, because you'll be wrong. You won't be walking by faith. You trust me. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. So I've turned him over to the Lord. I think the Lord will spank him. I want to say to you, friends, oh, we need to learn to walk this pathway. But if you think this is out of line here, I think maybe you and I are out of line. Now, this is a great psalm, and I'm going to lift out this part that's the imprecatory prayer. David was in trouble. He was running away from Saul. And Saul, in that chapter 24, he even said to David, when David spared his life, he said, I know you're going to be king. I know God's given it to you, and you are more righteous than I am. Then why didn't Saul bring him back in? He didn't bring him back in. Will you want to listen to David's prayer? Verse 4, let them be confounded and put to shame who seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion who devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. David wanted to turn it over to the Lord too, you see. And here we have the second mention, and these are the only two mentions of the angel of the Lord we have in Psalm 34, then Psalm 35. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they've digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hidden catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. Now, that sounds very extreme. It's an imprecatory prayer. And I think that it may be inconsistent for a Christian to pray that prayer today when he's told us to turn things over to him. But if you have an idea that somehow or another God is not going to take vengeance, and he'll do it without being vindictive, you see. He'll do it in justice and in righteousness and in holiness. And you can afford to turn it over to God, and he's going to make things right, by the way. This is a great psalm. It's a great comfort and a solace for the soul of man. Now listen to David after he prayed that prayer. Verse 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, who deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy, from him that spoileth him. David was a very poor man at this time. You'll recall that those that were in debt and those that were in distress, those that were discontented, that three classes of men came to David in that day. He was a sort of a Robin Hood. And I think that the man who wrote Robin Hood got the idea from this man David, by the way. And it was that time that David began to build up an army. But he's just a poor young boy running away, you see. And then there's something very interesting in verse 16. With hypocritical mockers and thieves, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. They not only did that, but they made fun of David. Now, a mocker in that day was a court jester. And he was hired, of course, to amuse the guests at a banquet. And they were hypocritical. They would come in and make fun of David, running away, hiding from the king and not fighting, you know. He could slay a giant Goliath, but he's afraid of King Saul. With hypocritical mockers in the feast. And friends, they're about us today, and you'll find them in the church. I was in the church a long time. I'm not against the church, but I'm in a position to say some things about folk in the church, and it hurts the testimony of the church. And that church is the bride of Christ, and God still has a purpose in the church. And somebody needs today to do some cleaning up on the inside. We're not to judge the world, but we're to judge things inside the church. And there's a lot of this inside the church today. They ridicule God's men. They lie about God's men. And they do it in the most pious way. And they are hypocritical mockers. They are jesters in the court of God today, ridiculing God's men. And that is true. My, this is a great psalm.